Running Buds.
Welcome to the Running Buds podcast with Buckeye Steve and Beehive Charlie. That's me, Buzz, Buzz, Buzz.
Well, good, back to the Beehive, Steve.
Yeah, I really want to emphasize that I'm recording from Utah and you're recording from Ohio, thus the state emphasis, but we're not going down the same path as the last episode.
Yeah, right now I'm really envious. The heat and humidity I've had enough of here, Charlie.
Oh, well, in addition to the heat, we don't have as much humidity, but you know what we have? At least yesterday, Salt Lake City, we have some bees, not enough, but we had the worst air quality in the entire world.
Really?
We beat out Mexico City. We beat out a couple big cities in India. We beat out Dubai, which always has bad air.
Yeah, Beijing. Beijing's usually a player in that competition.
Oh, they couldn't touch us yesterday.
Oh, man.
Jakarta, I may be pronouncing that wrong, but that's like one of the largest cities in the world. It's in Indonesia.
Yeah.
And it is so polluted and bad that the government's like, we can't keep our capital here. We have to move it. So we beat that.
That's not a concern for Utah. They'll keep the capital in Salt Lake City, right?
Well, there aren't really many other cities that it could be. So yeah, it's staying where it is. Yeah, real bad air. We're getting all the smoke from Oregon and California. I know I've said this on the podcast before, but Salt Lake is actually in a valley, and bad air can just get stuck here. It can be stagnant, and it's bad. It's bad.
So like you're the ashtray for the West Coast.
You know what, Steve? I wouldn't word it that way, but yes, the air quality can be bad.
Okay, well,
this is one of those. It's my
you can word it however you want, but it's not your. I mean, it's secondhand smoke from those guys.
This is one of those situations where it's like I'm picking on my little brother, and you start picking on my little brother. I'm like, not cool, dude.
No.
Okay. So.
Fair enough.
You just keep bad mouth in Salt Lake City, just not on the podcast, all right?
Well, you're the victim here. I'm putting it. I think I'm defending Salt Lake City. You're the victim of the West Coast of those people to your west.
Say that again. I was getting a little lightheaded from the smoke smell. What were you saying?
Salt Lake City's the victim here. I'm on your side in this
scenario. I can hear you. Can I talk about my race?
Yeah, you sent me some details of this race, and you can correct me where I'm wrong, but to summarize, it sounds like you ran a half marathon. You finished it so quickly that you got bored waiting for anyone else to finish, and you just decided to volunteer and hand out medals. Is that basically it, or is there more to that story?
There's a little bit more. I had signed up to volunteer prior to running.
Oh, okay.
Here it wasn't like spur of the moment, just me feeling generous. I signed up to volunteer because I wanted to see finish, but I didn't want to use vacation time because it was on a Friday. It's a state holiday here, so that's why it was on a Friday. A state holiday, but no time off for me at my company. But I was able to use volunteer time to see my friends finish, so that happened. But anyway, yeah, I both ran a half marathon and then started volunteering literally within 5 minutes of crossing the finish line. I was already sorting bags in the, whatchamacallit, like the bag pickup area, and then I was handing out medals.
Now, what happened in that 5 minutes? What was that 5 minutes like?
I am exhausted. I think I PR'd. Maybe I PR'd. I'm pretty sure I PR'd. Should I ring the bell? I don't know for sure. Oh, God. I'm going to drink another water. Oh, yeah. Chocolate milk. Sounds good. Whew. I'm tired. I'm still sweating. Oof. This stinks. Well, at least it was a PR. I think it's a PR. Maybe I'll talk about this on the podcast. That's what I was thinking. Let me
And
say
then off
this.
you go. Then you start, you're so volunteering and failed. Or am I moving too fast? Go ahead with.
Start with the race and then we'll get into the
Yeah.
volunteer.
Okay.
I
All right.
have
Let's.
to say probably about the volunteering, so we'll get through the race fast. All I got to really say about this race is there's a race in Toledo that you've talked about before, that a lot of people are familiar with, and it's the race you love to hate. This particular race in Toledo, it's in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a tough time of year to be running. Similar in the except the opposite, similar in just feeling, but opposite in cause. This is July 24th, year in and year out. Well, July 23rd this year, but July 24th, because that's a state holiday. And July 24th, A, it's hot, and B, who's in really good shape to run a race in the middle of the summer like this, right?
Yeah, I
So.
know. I'm in radio ease. I'm shaking my head. No, nobody, nobody. I'm shaking my head right now, Charlie. Nobody.
Yeah, so it's a race I've done 3 times now. I did it in 2018. I then did it again in 2019. In 2019, I ran 5 seconds slower than 2018. This year, Steve, I split the difference.
So you were right in between. You ran.
Yes,
You
three
ran.
races all within a 5 second span. Same race. So it's just like I kind of shrug my shoulders and like, well, I guess that's my time.
Fated to that time.
I made the mistake of not looking up what my times were before. I
Yeah.
just Strava what my times were, and I remember it being something ending in a 48, then a 49, and this time when I looked at my watch, it was a 45. So I was fairly certain that I PR'd. And
Right.
after volunteering, after being all done, walking away, a third of the people are there just because it's so late, because I was, volunteering until the end or whatever. I see the PR bell. I'm like, I should give it a ring. I ran a PR. I've earned this. So I get out my phone and just double check. And as you know, I'm a dork that keeps all of my race times in just this one Google file. And I saw that I was.
Didn't.
Yeah, I do.
I know
I
it now,
keep all.
and the world knows it now. You really
Yeah,
do that?
it's the same Google Drive file that has every single run I've done since 2012 as well. But that's neither here nor there. But I looked and I saw that I was like 2 or 3 seconds slower than what I did in 2018. So I was like, man, I'm glad I checked. I would have felt
Oh
like a
my.
real dork if I would have rang this bell and, not actually earned it. So. Get to ring the
Did you
bell.
consider that you would have had to unring the bell? I mean, did you consider what that might entail?
There's no, it's like taking toothpaste out of a tube. There is no unringing a bell. You can't unring that bell. So I'm
No,
really
you
glad.
can't. But I mean, there has to be some sort of symbolic.
I guess I would have had to run this next year and actually earned it and then not ring
Not
it.
ring the bell. Okay.
PR is the best I could have done.
So you pre-rang the bell if you or you would have been forced then.
Come on,
Yeah,
though.
okay.
That's insane, though. Like, this wasn't a pacing thing. This was a racing. And 3 times I tried my hardest to finish as fast as I can. And every time, just within 5 seconds, I put up a funny meme on like our local Utah running thing. Familiar with the movie Dazed and Confused?
I don't think I've ever seen that movie. I think that's like a pothead movie, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Marijuana use is a part of it, as it is a coming of age tale of high school in the 70s, but
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's a pot movie per se, but there's a lot of that. But there is a scene, and Matthew McConaughey plays this like creepy old dude who like keeps hanging around high school, so, like who's in college or even post college, and he has a line that he says. That's what I love about these high school chicks, man. I keep getting older. They stay the same age. So I made a meme of, that Matthew McConaughey character where it says, that's what I love about these Des News finish times. I get older, they stay the
It's the
same.
same.
You know, that's how I feel about it. I really don't want to run this race again. I think three times I run it 3 times, and I run basically the exact same time every time. What else is there to do? I think I can just move on, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no sense in trying to push. Like you said, there's, I mean, it has its limitations. It doesn't sound like a particularly enjoyable race to do because of the heat. Not a time of the year you normally do a half marathon. So I think you've established your identity in this place, in this time, and in this race. And I think you just leave it at that now, Charlie.
Also, I had to set my alarm for 3 a.m.
Oh, for
Sure to.
goodness sakes. Yeah, that's it. 3 a.m. on a Friday when you don't have to work. No. Don't do that anymore, Charlie.
That being said, it's a gorgeous course, and the three fastest half marathon times are these 3 times I've done this race. So it does have that going for it. And it does have a lot of redeeming qualities, which I was able to appreciate as a volunteer at the finish line. But yeah, I think I've done. Although once you do a race 3 times and it's local, don't you feel like you have to keep doing it? Isn't it hard to like not do it at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it has that draw. I mean, there's races that I've done a lot near here that I don't particularly enjoy, and I kind of keep getting sucked into doing them. And it's sort of like, I don't know. It's like when you open up the refrigerator and you keep eating a food you don't like just because it's always in the refrigerator. But
Yeah, you see that expiration date approaching, and you're like, I'm gonna have to throw this away. It's either eat it or throw it away, and I don't want to waste food. Yeah, that's
yeah,
very.
so it's the same sort of thing. It's just there for the taking, and there's nothing else going on. But I don't know, that one, like what you've described, it just seems like it's a pretty difficult set of circumstances to live up to. A half marathon in the summer, and I have the equivalent here, a half marathon that I do in the heat, that I don't know why I keep doing it, but I keep doing it just because it's there, and I just think there's that draw to local races sometimes. So.
You know what I was just, I can't, I gotta laugh at us, Steve. How long ago were we just pining to finally have live racing again? We would
Oh,
have
I
given
know.
left arm just to be able to do a live race. And now what, a couple months later, we're like, it's so hot. I don't like
It is so hot, but
I have to get
hot,
up
that
early.
trumps everything, though. Once you start feeling the heat, you can so easily put everything else aside and say, I'm too hot.
Okay, so that was how my race went, but it was a pretty fun experience. Have you ever volunteered at a finish line before, Steve?
I never have. I've
Ever
it's
volunteered?
got to be a very positive event or experience, because I'm always you're always glad to see those volunteers that are either handing you water or, I mean, that's like your first, what it's like the maitre d' at a restaurant that you really enjoy. You know, you walk in and that's who you see. That's who's gonna make your experience just complete. So tell me what that's like.
I highly recommend it. I've done a couple different volunteer things at races. The worst has got to be just course marshal, where you just stand at the middle or the side of the road or at a corner and point the runners where to go or yell at people to get back. That's
Yeah.
awful. Never recommend that. Well, somebody's got to do it, so
Somebody has to do it, but yeah, I get you.
do it. But just from enjoyment from the volunteer standpoint, not much fun. But finish line is a blast because A, you got all that excitement and energy of the finish line. You're seeing all these people have accomplishments. I was handing out medals, so it's just nothing but appreciation coming from, well, 99% of the people, it's nothing but appreciation.
That's what I was
99.8%.
going to ask. Now, I envision the appreciation, but there's got to be a few issues that people bring to your way when they finish. And so,
Every
what types
single
of issues?
person was either awesome or just quiet, which is fine. You know, you're out of breath, you're delirious, whatever. You get your medal, you not, whatever. The individual who won the marathon, the winner of the full marathon, immediately after crossing the finish line, started screaming at whoever would listen, and I was closest because I was about to hand him his medal. Which I was kind of excited for, was hoping I would be in the paper. And it turns out he had click through the gallery, three images, and then you saw my hand. That was it. Anyway, started screaming at whoever would listen, where's the tape? There's got to be some tape. Come on, guys, because we didn't have, like, the tape for him to break.
Yeah, oh, really? That's, wow.
Yeah, like, this race, I don't want to put it down too much, but it's like, it isn't exactly the most buttoned up affair. It's a good race, and a lot of people do it, but I wasn't surprised that they didn't have tape. And I understand, you know, if you're going to win it, you want tape, you want that part of the experience. Infamously in Toledo, Glass City Marathon, was this just 2 years ago? Was this 2019, I think?
It may have been.
You want to say what happened?
Well, number one, I'm terrible at time, so I won't go I don't know if it was 2 or 3 years ago, but it was, if I recall correctly, and you can also, but it was the female winner was coming in, and there was tape waiting for her, and a male finisher decided to go break the tape instead. And did he outkick her, or it was a pretty shady hole.
I don't know what went on. I thought actually it was like a male half marathon too, so it was like somebody doing, you know, a 2 hour 50 minute half.
That might have been true.
I don't know the details, and I wasn't there, so I won't speculate, but I'm pretty sure he just ran through the tape thinking, oh, this is nice. And he started screaming at him.
Yeah. And now I don't remember names, and I'll even jump to the afterwards. All was well afterwards. Everybody kissed and made up. So there was a lot of criticism online of the little, because I think it actually grew some legs online and got a lot of attention.
Did up. Yeah, I saw it online.
Yeah.
I watched the video, and I can understand that more than just like a race collectively forgetting a tape versus one individual. Like, it's right there in front of you, taken away. I can understand being more upset. I mean, it's still like yelling at somebody isn't going
to. Oh, it's absurd. Totally absurd. I mean, the tape is fine, but winning is winning is winning. And the tape is, he had a line to cross. He was ahead of everybody else. Take your victory and move on with life, pal.
Yeah,
but and especially even if it's, you're annoyed by it, I mean, you're yelling at volunteers or people at the finish line. I mean, it's not that big of a thing, and they're not going to solve it anyways. Nobody failed. You ran a race, you won it, and that's it.
Well, for the girl in Toledo, they let her relive it. They put the tape up again and let her run across it, which I'm not sure about if that is worth it. I don't know. We were planning that for this guy, but I don't think it was done. But he started yelling about this immediately. He was asking for the race director and just being a total, total petulant child. I cannot tell you how shocking it was to see this. To his credit, within a couple minutes, it was over. Even quicker, that 1 minute later, he didn't bring it up again and was just, he gave a great post-race interview and was gracious, et cetera, et cetera. But immediately after crossing the line and winning, he was screaming about this. And me being closest to him, I just gave him a shrug like, I just work here, dude. and thinking back, I kind of wish I would have been like, you didn't win, or we put it away at 2.5 hours because it was like he ran a 2:32 or something. But I wasn't that. I'm not that controversial. professional in real life or witty in the moment, so like I said, I just gave him a shrug of I just work here. But he was the only one that I kind of had a negative experience with at the finish line. Everyone else was awesome, and it was inspiring. It's so moving just being at a half marathon, marathon finish line, and just seeing people in the moment do some of these people, it's the most biggest physical thing they're going to do in their life, and you're seeing them, you know, cross that finish line, climb that mountain, hit that pinnacle, and it's the biggest achievement they're going to do in that regard. And you see it on their face, a lot of tears, a lot of happiness. It is warm, like I said. So the number one word uttered cross finish line started with an F. You can guess what it was. That was kind of funny, just seeing so
Thank
many.
Thank you, Elaine Flanagan. Yeah, in Utah, of all places, as well.
Exactly. I do wonder how many of these people were doing this.
How many fingers were in kids' ears?
Some were loud, but it was always just, that word is just so easy to read on lips, and it was a common one. So that was enjoyable in a weird way.
And you know, it could also, I mean, what you're describing is all positive, but I mean, I think I've described, well, I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but I mean, I did a workout once, and that's all, the only word I could repeat at the end of the workout was that word over and over in my head. So, I mean, it's just an easy word to come to mind of probably a lot of people in certain times. And at the end of a race, I can see it's something that would be voiced pretty commonly in all different manners. And
I've done a lot of races. I'm sure I've said it more than one time, especially those races where you're just cross-eyed. I might have done it just earlier that day when I crossed the line, because I was tuckered at the end. Just absolutely. So I may have been part of that statistic, but it was just kind of funny to see. Working the finish line, I saw last place in the half marathon, and let me tell you, she may have came in last place, but she was at least top five in how much she enjoyed the race. Had her hands in the air, got the crowd into it, and was just pleased as punch crossing the line. And I thought that was actually really cool. Just totally unapologetic of, I did it. I crossed this line. I don't know if she knew she came in last place. Probably not, but I thought it was pretty cool. It's kind of cool too, just like, because there's a decent sized crowd there. Just what they cheer for. Because most people, you know, they'll either clap politely or, you know, not clap for every single one and just go by. But as soon as they see somebody, A, really old, B, have any kind of disability of any sort, anything like flag or military related, or if they're like wearing the firefighter stuff, of course, that'll get a response. But then lastly, anybody just feeling it, like cruising really hard, or some people you just can see, it's like they don't have to say anything. You can just tell that they are excited to be at that finish line, and the crowd responds. So that was something kind of interesting to.
Yeah, that is. Isn't that a great people watching moment? Because you see everybody's story. Like in that instant, as they're coming down the chute, as they're coming in, you know, crossing the line, and you can just really read on their face almost everything they've been through in the last few weeks coming out in that moment. And yeah, it's really cool. It's really interesting because sometimes it's pretty contorted. It's not always pretty, but it's always interesting.
This was legitimately fun. It was a great use of a morning that I didn't have to work that day. And I know races always need volunteers, and I'm sure that a lot of people want this spot, but it's great. I highly recommend you do it sometime, especially a marathon. Like half marathon, you do get a lot of people that it is probably their biggest athletic achievement and whatnot. But as we know, the marathon, it just breaks you down so much more mentally, physically, and it is got that more of a benchmark athletic achievement than a half is. So you just get a bigger and more emotional and exaggerated response. So it's awesome. I really recommend it. I've got one thing also on the women's winner.
Yeah.
Her name is Ashley Paulson. She's a local Utah person. She ran the entire thing in this cotton shirt.
Okay.
And the cotton t-shirt was the race shirt from 1988.
Wow.
And she had, I was almost moved to tears with her post-race interview, because again, it's right there and I'm just standing there. Her parents were standing there as close to her about as I was. And she said this race was dedicated to her parents, especially her dad. She was wearing this cotton t-shirt that day because that's his race shirt from when he ran this very race in 1988. She remembers watching him run it as a little girl, and that like inspired her to want to run a marathon one day as well. So how cool was that, that she then wore that shirt and dedicated the race to her parents and won it?
Really cool.
Yeah. And I recognized her because she has pink hair, and she smoked me in the Utah Valley Marathon. So I knew she was. Yeah. She won it with a 2:48, which had to have been a couple minutes slower than what she ran Utah Valley in, but because it was a tough race.
In the heat, I was gonna say, in the heat, that's a pretty impressive. I mean, in the heat, you start getting into any warm temperatures, and 3 hours is always a great time, but especially in the warm, it is it's quite a test.
Both her and the male winner both said, well, the male guy said that he was asked how he was going to celebrate. He said he had to take a flight back to Arizona or wherever, and then he was going to go for a run that night, shakeout run, and then he goes, I really like to run, and that was how he closed the interview. Jerk.
He's going to have his wife and kids hold up a tape for him when he does his shakeout.
I don't think anyone would marry this guy. Okay, I'm being too mean. been such a petulant child. Even if he just crossed the finish line and just was like, yes, and then he was like, hey, where's the finish? Where's the tape, guys? Come on. That would have been fine, but just, I cannot express how much, you know what, we're going to be done talking about him.
Okay.
Great. And one of the things about this race that is cool is that we get some really outstanding talent and huge names. In fact, I wasn't around for it because it was the 10K, but we had none other than Jared Ward, who's a local guy, run the 10K. He ran a PR and lost.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is insane. Jared Ward. Now, is he's a former Olympian, is that correct? Or he's quite a resume for those that don't know Jared Ward.
I think he came in sixth in the 2016 Olympic marathon. So incredibly decorated runner, outstanding runner, outstanding, you know, and he came in second. And it was actually a really good story because the guy he came in second to, they both went to BYU, which is a school only like 45 minutes south of Salt Lake City. He was kind of, I think he was a senior when this guy was a freshman, and he was always sort of a mentor to this guy. Rory Link, something like that. I'm sorry to Rory.
Typical running buds, no preparation, just winging it.
I know it's not Ledbetter, because that's like the Pearl Jam song.
Yeah, it's the Pearl Jam, yeah.
Linkletter? It doesn't. That guy.
Google it at home.
He was able to outkick Jared in the end and pull out the win, so that was kind of cool.
Wow.
And Steve, do you remember we talked about on the podcast, there was a lady who was 9 months pregnant and ran a 525 mile?
I do remember that.
She's local, which I
is
didn't
she
know.
Really? That is now. How do you not know of a local person that does that? That seems like right up your alley, those types of
crazy
people.
BYU
slap together.
BYU just turns out so many like outstanding runners. Sometimes they get lost. Well, anyway, her name, McKenna Myler, how can you forget that name? Of course, she ran the 525 mile, 9 months pregnant. She's 9 months postpartum and won the half marathon. Not only won the half marathon, set a new course record by, I think, like 3 minutes. She smoked me. She beat me by 7 minutes. Yeah, so she set this course record, and the lady she beat, the previous course record holder, was another outstanding local runner, Sarah Sellers.
Yeah.
That name might sound familiar because she came in second to Des Linden in the Boston Marathon a couple years ago. So just insane talent that comes out and does this really pain in the butt race to do. So I thought that was pretty cool. Oh, her time. She ran like a 109 something, which was 5:20 per mile. So that 5:25 single mile at 9 months pregnant, 9 months postpartum, she knocked 5 seconds off and did over 13 consecutive of them. So
Wow.
really impressive stuff. Okay, the last thing I have on this race, and I thought this was going to segue into what our topic was going to be, but looking at a half hour now and just the reality of our weekends, I think this is going to be it for this episode. But I actually saw somebody, I don't know what it's called. It's more than just bonking or hitting the wall, but somebody actually have that sort of standing seizure coming towards the finish.
Oh, okay. I take my laughter back, but that
Yeah.
is one of the fun things to see is the people. And I've been there, that's the only reason I laugh, but those moments that you're failing and it's coming out pretty pretty emphatically, but what happened here?
I've seen it just like on, YouTube videos, or like there was a
Yeah.
commercial one time for some kind of endurance thing of just, it's so weird. It literally looks like almost like they're being electrocuted and stuff, just taking a couple of steps, wobbling.
Yeah.
This is where I claim to be the hero, and I was the one that saw him and yelled to the medic team to get out there and help him because, kind of a modern day hero in many ways. Not just a
All
race,
heroes wear capes, some hand out medals.
not just an age group, third
But
place in your.
this is a healthy person with healthy afterwards. Does that sum it up? I mean, the race just did them in. Is that
I
fair to
really,
say?
I almost wanted to just make a joke, but I don't know for certain. So I assume so. Medics did help. He did cross the finish line, and that is so strange. Like how dedicated some people can be. And I want to think in the same scenario I would still, because his eyes were on the finish line. His body was all over the place and pausing and staggering and stuff, but his eyes were on the finish line. And as soon
Yeah.
as he crossed, medic rushed him to a wheelchair. And the medic told me afterwards, because I chatted with him, I was like, I've never seen that before. He's like, honestly, I haven't either. And he's like, he was trying to wave us off, saying, yeah. So I assume he's okay. They got some fluids in him right away. And he was, like I said, in a wheelchair within a second after crossing the finish line. And a whole group of medics. In fact, I just handed the medal to one of the medics and was like, make sure he gets this. Okay, he definitely earned this medal. So I assume he was not a real old guy, but he was no young pup either. So I think I would have heard if things went really awry, right? He's
You
fine.
would have heard, and honestly, I think if he's cognitively able to wave off help to get to that finish line, then he knows that in the big picture he's okay. I'm not as bad as I look, people. But nonetheless, it's got to be a scary thing to see. It is a scary thing to see. I mean, isn't that Charlie, when you do marathons, isn't that a little disconcerting? Because you do always come upon, after mile 20 or so, you start crossing paths, you start passing people that have just, in over their heads at that point. And I divert my eyes. I don't even really want to look at them. Just I don't want that energy. But I kind of call them the Walking Dead because they do. They look like the zombies in the show The Walking Dead, if you've ever seen that
For
they're
sure.
just sort of their eyes are fixed and they're just plugging away, but they don't look good.
The human spirit is just so damn tough, though. Tougher than our bodies sometimes. So it's just bizarre. Just really something I'll never forget seeing that. And I gotta admit, it's gonna be in the back of my mind in any race I
Exactly. Yeah.
start to struggle. I'm like, am I going to be like standing seizure crossing this finish line? I don't know if I'm tough enough to do that. I would think I would slow down enough or quit before it got that bad, but maybe not.
That's what I always wonder too, is people's experiences when they start going downhill. Cause I always feel like once I start down that path, I would never make it to that point. I would just, I'm done before I ever get there. I mean, I'm a well-documented quitter anyways, but I've never could see myself getting to that point. I feel like it's pretty, like a metaphysical experience when I start going downhill, like, all right, I'm done. That's it. And
you quit.
I don't need this race that bad. But yeah,
I think you're selling yourself short. You've done probably 100 races across different distances and you quit one, so you're not okay, bud. Like I said, we actually had a topic for this episode besides just this race, but I'm in the middle of a room that's half primered. Not even so. I got a lot for me, and of course, I'm not going to miss the Olympic marathon coming on in an hour or so. So
yeah, exactly. We're recording this the night of the men's. Last night was the women's. Molly Seidel from the United States. One of my new favorites. I didn't know as much about her as I wish I did. I really would have rooted for her because her post-race interview telling her family to have a beer for her and reading about her as I did afterwards. She is awesome. I love runners like that just want to have fun with the sport. And she's one of us, Charlie.
Yes, she is. And as soon as I saw that she won, I was like, I wonder if she's also from Utah. Like everyone seems to be doing things. And then when I heard that quote, I was like, oh no, she's not from Utah. She's from All right, Steve, I've got a song to close this one out with. Even though I wasn't able to ring that bell or bang that gong, a lot of people were able to. So we're going to close this one out with T-Rex, Bang a Gong, for everybody that was able to PR and legitimately ring that bell.
Good choice.
All right, till next time, we are the Running Buds. Send us an email, runningbudspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook at Running Buds Podcast. We're on Strava at Running Buds Podcast. Give us a like, a follow, whatever. Send us an email. Till next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Running Buds.